Good evening, everybody. James McKenna here with my science for October 27, 2022, in the ongoing year-long series of the history of the discoveries of my work. And this week, last week I went through a tirade on education. And I did this, not that it's part of my history, my personal history, but because it has to set the tone for why I created an educational package. Now, my package is not what you would call a complete course. It's not meant to be. It's a supplement to education. Now, it's rather comical. I had a gentleman write in to me, and he bought the education package for his son who was going off to college. And the reason he did that is he said he's going to have to learn two things, two sets of knowledge. One is yours, and one is whatever they teach him at college. And, of course, what they're going to teach him at college is about 99.9% just garbage, false, fairy tales, things that could not possibly be true. And that relates to human history, to geology, to meteorology, to lots of topics in advance, say, chemistry of the planets or evolution, things like that, that just really have no basis of science, but because it's been repeated enough, that's what the standard fare is, and everybody comes out repeating it in a sing-song manner. And if you oppose this, you'll be highly criticized. You probably won't get through college because you'll be considered a problem, and they don't like problems. They like all the students to sit there like good little doofuses and listen to all their garbage and then repeat it. And that's how you get an A. And the students who learn that routine, that if you just repeat what the professor says, then you get an A, that's the ticket to success. Just repeat what they tell you, and you will get an A. And so, first of all, in my education package, I developed this over a four-year period. And I did this with intent, and it was one lecture per week extra. And I had it on my webpage. Some people may have belonged to the group. It was called the Paid Cast. And people paid a little bit every week for the lecture of the week, in addition to my regular radio show. Because my regular radio show had current events and other topics and insights into certain scientific topics that were current. But the Paid Cast was dedicated to given topics, and once again, commercial-free from beginning to end, and it had a structure that was one week to the next, and for example, I had topics like Tesla's Mind, or Radiation and You, or Cybersecurity, or the series of 20 lectures that I did on the Carl Sagan Cosmos series. Very important to take that and break it down into the total disinformation was passed off, and then bring it back. And this also presents the ability for students to see through the garbage that they're teaching you. But first of all, I educated the parents. And the very first lectures are to parents and what they're in store for as their kids go off to school. You think when you open that door, that's the open door. A lot of parents think that's the opening the door to education is the better life and going on and getting a better job. The reality is that when you go to college and get a degree, you have put a cap on the income you can make, and you're going to be working long hours to make a certain amount of income, and there's no increase over that. And so that's the true glass ceiling in life. The people who really are out there making money, the vast majority of them never went to college. They learned business, and business is totally different from anything that you will learn about in college, just like science, just like mathematics, etc. And I have to qualify this because when you're in basic physics or chemistry or mathematics or biology, that's very sound, and that's been proven over long, repetitive. You can do experiments that the great scientists did to learn, say, about gravity or chemical formulas or rates of reaction or other important, classifications in biology. All of this has a lot of worth. But when you start getting up into advanced courses, especially if you get out into space science, or if you're in say, meteorology or geology, then things get a bit fuzzy because, say, plate tectonics. Everybody repeats that the plates are wandering around and that's how the mountains form, etc. Complete garbage. Couldn't possibly be true. There's no physics models that support this at all, that somehow mountain ranges and all this matter is being built up by sideways forces on the continental shelves. Complete garbage. Most geologists don't have a good physics background, so they don't understand that you can't take all this matter and lift it up by these little insignificant movements down on the continental plate. And really, the whole idea that continents are sliding around sideways around the Earth, just kind of moving around, you know, subduction and etc., just garbage. But that's a good example because students learn this, repeat it. How many A's have been given throughout the years of colleges and all the colleges and universities? How many A's have been given because people repeat plate tectonics? Complete garbage. Couldn't possibly be true. There's no physics that supports it. Okay, so anyway, the education program first is designed to take the parents because the parents got educated 9 times out of 10 in the same broken system. So the parents have to realize, holy cow, everything I learned was bogus. Everything they're teaching my kids is bogus. And, you know, so you have to break this down and then educate them on what is true. And that's the one thing that's good about my education program is that I first break down the garbage they're giving you, then give you an understanding of why there's a problem with all of that, and then I replace it. And that's why the people at the top really hate me, because it's easy to criticize. Anybody can criticize. That's easy. But to take and replace it with a completely self-consistent set of principles all the way from galactic evolution to the origin of the cosmology, where did the universe come from? Do we really know that? Do we really have the ability to know that? Have we measured the extent of the universe? Well, no, we haven't. And the garbage that they pass off regarding the Big Bang or dark matter, dark energy, all of those things just have no basis in science. So many things like the Oort cloud, etc. They've landed on the surface of a comet. There's no snow or ice or water at all. None. Yet they keep calling it a dirty snowball. It just shows you how improbable science is. When I was a kid, there was this cartoon show. It was called Rocky and His Friends. And his best friend was Bullwinkle, this moose. And there was a guy on there that his name was Peabody, and he was this intellectual guy. And he had improbable science and improbable history, where they would take some historical event and totally distort it, you know, which is, it was a cartoon. But that's the way modern life is. That's the way modern teachings are. And there's no consistency between the different parts of science, say, how solar systems form. So what they want students to do is simply remember, memorize remote, unrelated facts. And they call that knowledge. And that's, if you pass the test, you get an A and you move on to the next grade. You're rewarded for repeating garbage, but never allowed to think or challenge it. Okay, so at any rate, with that in mind, I started my education program. And it had to be a method in which the student was able to come out thinking on his own. That was a big part of it. In fact, that's the primary motivation, because you can only teach so much in a course, or even in the education program, which has hundreds of lectures. But at that certain point, they're going to be off in the real world on very many different topics, etc. And so you have to educate them how to see through. They have to build their knowledge base. And when something is presented, whether it's dealing with politics or societal norms or any of the hundreds of things that are thrown at the youth today including drugs or pharmaceuticals or vaccines or, you know, any one of the just literally thousands of things that are thrown at young people today, they have to be able to have a discerning view and understand and have a good BS meter. If not, they're just babes to the slaughter. They will just be worked over, and that's what's unfortunately going on today, because students come out of high school, they can't balance a checkbook. They don't know how to do anything in life. You know, what's taught in the textbooks is just fluff. And then they go on to college, and as I say, that's advanced babysitting. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the flow, the progression of the education package. And this is one of the most important packages that I put out. It contains all, and let's just assume you're buying the everything package, which includes everything, all of the books, CDs, etc. And it includes a long series of lectures on each book. Now that's important because you can read the book, you can listen to my lectures on the history of the development of topics, but these lectures take the book and really extend it, give you a really extended knowledge of what the book is all about, puts it into modern perspective, etc. And so if you break this down, and people want to know, well, how long does it take to go through this education program? And it literally would take you years. I did some calculations here, and just to listen to my 22 years of radio shows, if you did one per day, and considering it's 22 years worth of programs, one per week, 52 weeks per year, that's about 1,150 programs to date, actually more. But just that's a round number. So if you break this into years, we're talking about well over 3 years listening to my radio show for, it would take you 3 years and 2 months just to listen to my regular weekly radio shows, this one, James McKinney Science Hour at the Crossroads. Then you take the education package on top of that. If you listen to one lesson per day, and that's what I would recommend also. I wouldn't recommend going back, except for this particular year. If you were going to really study my work, I would want you to read the books, listen to the CDs, DVDs, look at the poster, look at the sun, the emergency sun star clock, and understand that. Even that device alone would take you quite a bit of time just to understand how it works. Using it is one thing, understanding how it works is quite another thing. But all in all, there's about 180 lesson lectures, all of them 1 hour long, in this education program. And so there are very important, let's say, categories of topics, but it would literally take you many, many years to go through this amount of material. And this, I estimate, is about one-tenth of what I have accomplished. A lot of my work is not public. A lot of it is still under development. I still have work, say, on prime numbers. I'm advancing them by leaps and bounds over my original book. And so eventually all that material will be released to the public. But what is there today is extensive. And so let me just go through some of these topics in the education program. And by the way, this was developed, it started in August of 2016, and it literally ran for 4 years. And so that's the period of time that this covers. And so I'll be going back into the 2000s, 2010 timeframe in later shows, November and December, wrapping up this entire year. Okay, so this is kind of an introduction to the reason for the education package. Did you know that accredited science and math education has been deliberately created to remove logic and reasoning to make the population controllable by the elite? The accredited public school education programs of today, also required in private schools, were designed to create an atheist communist state. Don't let this happen to your children. A secret government document titled Silent Weapons for Quiet War, which was printed in 1954, outlines the purge of real science and mathematics from the schools. This was solidified in 1979 by the movie star astronomer Carl Sagan, who immortalized the communist atheist agenda in his Cosmos series and book. This set the material basis for all future education of the masses. Accredited science and math courses are designed to dumb down your students and intentionally remove logic and reasoning. Up is down and down is up. Little boys are told they are little girls, and little girls are taught that they are little boys. One of the most important parts of this this education package is the Cosmos series replacement, which takes the, in about 20 lessons, takes the entire Cosmos series, breaks it apart piece by piece, showing the just the fallacy of this entire set of doctrines, and then replaces it. Sagan's subliminal message was that God did not create the universe and the universal design, but it all happened by itself one day in a big bang. He also taught that you are all evolved and are just a little bit smarter monkey than the ones out there in the jungle. It took away your God-given soul, your identity, your birthright as a free human being and your God creator, and replaced them with voodoo explanations, and you thought Sagan was teaching astronomy. The course is essential for all humans, but especially Christians. We are all created by the same creator. With this renewed knowledge, you can reclaim your rightful heritage as a human being. Grandparents and parents, this is a course that's essential for your children. We first educate the parents, and then you educate your children. Modern education is designed to destroy your spirit. Most of all, at every turn, the family is under attack. When you hear instructors and educators use the word diversity and inclusivity, it really means teach all the kids to be the same and be ashamed of yourself. We have to teach our youth, starting at a very young age, that they have a spirit which makes them unique and which tells them right from wrong, that as they as an individual are important. It is this spirit acting with their physical body that sets them apart from animals who only live by reacting to their environment. This is what gives man his creativity and uniqueness as an individual. It's what makes us children of God. So with that as an encapsulating idea, when you send your kid to school, they are denied the ability to talk with other kids or to teachers or to anybody about their personal spirit, the thing that makes them unique. And so what I try and do is break down those barriers. And then really, one of the main results here is that you really can't send your kids to public school. In fact, sending them to private school is really a problem. So the education package, you can buy a basic package, and I did this for people that just may not have enough money, and also maybe some people just want to test it out and see what it's all about. Part one, or the basic package, has 58 one-hour lectures, and these cover the books. And so I go through every book and discuss each book and bring out a lot more than you would get if you just read the book. So reading the books is part of this. And then there's an additional 50 one-hour lectures. So this is 108 hours total of lectures. And I'll just go through a couple of these topics. And this is all under the broad outline title, Education, the Future of Our Children and Youth. And so part one, Understanding the Failures of the Past and Why I'm an Expert to Create the Future of Education. So, understanding the failures of the past. I've been talking about this. In fact, last week I spent a lot of time talking about understanding the failures of the past and present. Who controls our education system? the school board and public taxed education, Google education, the textbook racket. Now that's something that's really important to understand. Because in some states there are laws that say you cannot put incorrect information into textbooks, but textbooks are full of completely bogus information. And then here's a topic for parents. The mouthy parent syndrome. I don't care what school you go to. I don't care if it's public or private. I don't care what setting it's in. You have the mouthy parent syndrome. Somebody that comes in and just thinks that all the world should bow down to them because they're so smart. And they use their mouth to try and keep everybody shut up. Basically, how to deal with them. I talk about that. Because I've been in education, and I've had these people come at me, and I'm like, okay. But anyway, it's an important topic, the mouthy parent syndrome. Science fiction and the millennial generation, the ultimate failure of education. Okay, so then that's the first couple parts. What should education be? Resetting education. Then I talk about the accredited education racket, the accredited teacher and tenure racket, the true cost of education, not only in money, and then redefining education. Teaching kids where they are going. Now, this is something that is totally lost, completely lost in education, is to, and this is so important because you have to teach kids they're individuals. And you know what happens? If kids act as individuals and don't act like the mold that they try and set you in, then you're ostracized. You're a problem student. You go to the principal's office a lot. The parents get called in. And what schools should be doing is identifying the talents of each student, each kid. You know, and this is what they did in old Greece. They identified the talents and developed the complete person. And everybody knew, in fact, when I grew up, I knew that all my friends were different. I had talents that they did not have, and they had talents that I did not have. You know, and so, and that's what makes people different. But today, they want everybody in a mold so that they're all exactly the same. And they certainly take away the concept of each person's spirit and soul. So teaching kids where they are going. Teaching mathematics to kids and adults who never understood mathematics. And then also doing the same, connecting the scientists in the sciences into one open system. And the history and current events, what is true and not true in standard education. And so teaching people how to understand the truth when they're looking at the evening news, etc. Here's one that's very important. There was and is a great designer. How do we know? How do you know that there is a great designer? And I'll just give a little bit of a insight into something that happened one night. I was on the Art Bell radio show, and we were talking about the design of the universe, etc. And Art was an atheist, although I just, when people say they're atheists, a lot of times they're referring to like religions, etc. But I used an example. I said, Art, do you know of a bridge that exists near you? And I said, just think of that bridge. He goes, yeah, okay. I said, do you know who designed it? I said, if you cross that bridge, are you confident that you're not going to fall down, the bridge is going to break, and the car is going to crash through, and you know, do you feel confident? He goes, yes. I said, do you know the person who designed that bridge? And he goes, no, I don't know. He said, do you know if it was met standard building practices? Did it pass engineering tests? You know, how do you know that the person that designed that knew what he was doing? And the whole point is that we live in a universe where you can see this amazing design. How would you believe, without knowing the architect or the designer of that bridge, but still having confidence that there was one. And you look at this whole universe and you don't think there was a designer? It doesn't make any sense. And I think when you put it in those terms, then people come to grips what's really going on. Answering the question, what is space? Outer space, space in a room, things that are big and small. Also, what is time? Talking about time, what is motion? The history of understanding these terms. Gravity, understanding this very elusive word, and the biology of birth, the birth of a being, and what separates us from animals, plants, and rocks. How come man is different? What is the intelligence in man? Is it just because our physical brain is bigger than a monkey that is still out there in the jungle? Or is there something else going on? What about the spirit? How does your spirit interact with your body? The importance of each person in the infinite universe. And a lot of times people think the universe is so big and I'm so small and I'm so insignificant. And that's the wrong conclusion. The conclusion is that you are a very important person. Look at all the matter in the universe and look at the small amount of matter that it takes to make up the human being. But you have intelligence. You have the ability to look at everything and thank the Creator for putting you in this universe and giving you life. Life is the most amazing gift ever. And people go through their whole life without even realizing it. So this is very important to instill into young people this concept. What is the difference between organic and inorganic in chemistry? What makes a carbon atom in an organic molecule in a being, in a human, what makes that carbon atom different than an organic, an inorganic carbon atom in a diamond or in a piece of graphene or some other inert chemical? What's the difference? And so anyway, I talk about that. The infinitely complex divine plan is very simple. So this goes back to, for example, the indigenous people, where they understood the simplicity of you know, like gifts, like cedar, like birch bark, like the seeds that grew plants that they eat, you know, and the fish that were, everything was, that you needed was provided there. You did not have to go out and invent seeds. They were already there. So understanding this and understanding the simplicity, but also that this is an extremely complex universe we live in. And how do you sort that out between the extremely infinitely complex and the very simple? I talk about physics, a lot of topics on physics, motion of objects in gravitational fields, motion of multiple bodies in gravitational fields, add in electromagnetic effects, understanding galactic arms, cosmology, and then the practical electricity and magnetism. Then I talk about health and healing, how to be toxic-free, the geology. I go through a whole list of geology topics here about the Earth's surface, the Earth's interior, the age of the Earth and the Moon, Jupiter, the twin star of our Sun. I talk about the planets, all of the individual planets, asteroids, Saturn, and out to Pluto and its twin planet, Charon. I talk about the geology of comets and the objects in interstellar space. I talk about space weather, Earth local electrical batteries. Earth is a comet. I talk about that. Then I go into understanding the modern world. Very important set of lectures, the last seven lectures of this series. The evening news, lies and corruption. How do you, if you watch the evening news, how do you watch that? How do you get information out of the disinformation? What you really should be worrying about? Should you be worrying about the stock market and the in the price of gasoline, or are there other things that you should be worrying about? What about the beauty of nature or diet for a modern world, morality and natural law, science and logic in life, and dealing with people from a youthful perspective? So anyway, those are the other 50 lectures in this series. So you can see that I'm putting this together to educate young people on all kinds of topics that are relevant to their lives, and then give them a direction. That is the most important thing, is so that they sit down and they go, maybe some kid is really good on the guitar and he likes to play in his garage and have a garage band. So he's probably not studying in school, and he's probably very turned off by school subjects because, you know, he just wants to get home and pick up that guitar and play. And so, and the same with, say, a kid in basketball or in sports. You know, their big interest, their concentration is getting out of school and getting out on the ball field and playing ball or, you know, whatever it is. And how do you sort these things out with these kids? How do you talk to them about important subjects like physics and math and computer science? How do you get them away from that phone that they've been addicted to since they were little? A lot of parents have used the telephone as a babysitter when they're in the car or whatever, and these kids become addicted, so that you try and take that away and they just lose it. And so how do you manage all of this? How do you get back to the point where, say, when I was a kid, we didn't even have television. We didn't even have black and white TV. We had one in the living room, but it did not go on. Maybe on a special night or a special show, or maybe on the weekend or a Sunday night, the whole family would to get together and watch a family show. But that doesn't happen anymore. It's very rare that those kind of things happen. So this education program is designed to also for the family. It's very family oriented. Now, the second part of the education program gives you more of the products. Now, this includes all of the products on my sales page, all the books, ebooks, DVDs, CDs, eDVDs, the posters, the calendar, etc. And those are all, every one of those has its own set of lectures in the first part, in the basic package. If you buy the complete package, what's called the everything package, then you get all of this at once. But if you bought the initial package and then decided to later add the second part of the package, there would be 89 actually additional lectures. And of course, all of these are 1 hour long. And so let me go through some of these topics here and give them somewhat of an order here, because what I'll do is 1 week I'll talk about, say, Tesla's mind. The next week will be the world before the Great Flood and environmental toxins, radiation, and you. So I'll go through these topics and give you a little bit of discussion. But the first two lessons, how to determine if an internet or other Planet X claim is real or fake. Now, this is important because this is going on. This is constantly going on. You have people coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, Planet X is going to be here next week, and then it doesn't happen. And, of course, this constant parade of people making claims that never come to pass, it's like the boy crying wolf. You know, the boy was sheep herding and he thought it'd be funny to call the townspeople wolf, wolf, and they all come running out and there's no wolf, and the boy laughs. He thinks that's real funny. So the second time he goes and he cries wolf, and the whole town comes out to try and defend against the wolf, and there's no wolf. And the third time there's actually a wolf there, and he goes, screams at the town, wolf, wolf, and nobody comes to help him. And so that's the ploy of misinformation. Every week somebody's coming out saying Planet X is here. And so it drowns out any ability of somebody if there were a real issue at any point and somebody came out, nobody would believe them. And that's the entire point of disinformation. And then the second lecture is how to deal with friends and family talking about NASA lies, the shadow government, etc. If you're with friends and family and you bring up these topics, well, guaranteed, you're going to have a lot of negative feedback. Let's just put it that way. But how do you deal with that? And there are ways to deal with those people, those situations. So that's very important. So those are the first two lectures in the extended part of the education package. And so I'll go through some of these title categories. Tesla's Mind, Radiation and You, talking about radiation in a toxic world that we live in. Environmental Toxins, The World Before the Great Flood. Now, this is very important because it starts going into the true history of man. Let me just look down the list here. Cybersecurity, a very important topic, and I go into a series of shows on this. Space science, astronomy, and astrophysics. And I talk about Mars specifically. There's a show on Tesla's inventions that were confiscated. What if Tesla's inventions were not confiscated? How would this have changed the world? Here's another topic of Tesla. What Tesla did not know. So there's things that Tesla really knew, but what did he not know? And then also the Wardenclyffe Tower. I talked specifically about that. Tesla's favorite invention, the Tesla turbine, and there's a patent of 1913. What other topics here? Tesla's Mind, Introduction to Tesla. This is one of the best series in this whole education program. And I also talk about the weapons that Tesla developed that were really misunderstood. So I bring those into focus. What were Tesla's military weapon inventions? And interestingly enough, when Tesla died, he was packing his bags to go to England. He had offered one of his military devices to the Pentagon in the United States, and this was in the middle of World War II, and they said, no, we don't want it. And so anyway, he was on his way to England to sell the technology to England when he died. So there was something nefarious about the demise of Nikola Tesla in his hotel room in New York City. And then all of his boxes, all of his notes, all of his patents end up disappearing. Okay, now the heart of this series is the cosmos, the real story is what I call it. And so it takes apart one by one the Cosmos series of Carl Sagan. And then the Carl Sagan Cosmos series was redone by Neil deGrasse Tyson. And of course, there's the Cosmos book. So these are very highly promoted. So I take them apart piece by piece, week by week, and replace them and show the fallacy of this whole series. Then I talk about the science of the Colbrin. Very important. About a five-part series. Then I talk about weather, space weather, and the solar system. I talk about the sun, planetary weather, space weather, galactic influence, Jupiter, and the outer planets, etc. Anyway, these are space and space weather and weather of the planets. And then here's a very interesting section on space travel, past, present, and beyond. I talk about the early days of the space program. I talked about the Russian space program, the future of space, electric highways to the stars, my program for electromagnetic propulsion systems. And then another series, Alternative Energy Unmasked. That's a four-part series. Then I have another series that's nine parts. This goes on for about 13 parts. World Energy Water Project. So I talk about energy, water, population, food, environment, poverty, terrorism and war, disease, education, democracy, and then I talk about coal, nuclear, and petroleum in terms of energy. So that's the summary of the part two, or the advanced part of the education program. So as you can see, a tremendous number of topics. And once again, this is not a course in science or mathematics. This is a supplement. This is on top. And the other thing is, when you understand this, when you study this set of topics, you can go into a classroom, or your parents can understand that when you have to go into a classroom as a student, whether it's grade school, high school, college, university, graduate school, that you're going to be beset with a lot of garbage, and you're going to have to be on your toes and understand what's really going on in the universe. And you're going to get a lot of pushback at first, but if you understand what's really going on, 9 times out of 10, or 99 times out of 100, your teacher, professor, is not going to have a comeback, because they simply don't know. They are repeating, their textbook repeaters. That's who they are. And then you call them out on that. You say, where's your information? You know, you're just getting that out of a textbook. You're just repeating what's in a textbook. And you can come back at them and argue on them way above their level. Very important. And so I'm very proud of this education package. It's something that really more people should take advantage of. It's a very low price. And there's available the family individual package or group packages available also, if you have a school, etc., or homeschooling, etc., then you can get a license for up to 20 people on a single license. Now, I want to talk about how you would use this course. And this is important, because even if you're not going to study this course, I want to talk a little bit about how I personally studied when I was in college or university or graduate school, etc. Is if I had a math book or a physics book or whatever we were studying from, I would always be many, many lessons ahead. But the other thing is, I would read three times. If it was a math book or physics book, I would read the material three times. The first time would be for terminology, and just to get just to see the words, see new terminological phrases, and that would be the first reading. So it would be rather quick. And then I'd go back and I'd kind of think about it and say, okay, where is this going from what I know in the past? And the second would be for basic flow and understanding. So the second reading I would go through to try and understand the material, give it some context, and think about the wider meaning of this. And that would be important, because I never just studied something at face value. I was always trying to incorporate this into what I already knew, building on the base. Then I'd read it the third time for understanding, for truly understanding the material. And then, and only then, would I start, say, doing problems in the back of the book, you know, or the back of the chapter, etc. And then I'd get to the point where I could actually teach this material. So that's the real test, because that's the point at which you have to know your subject matter well enough that it's in your head. I mean, you don't have to, you're conversant, you are fluent in this material. And where I went to school, there were always people that liked to work together. They liked to talk about different physics problems or math problems, etc. And so you had a rich environment. And of course, I taught university math, physics, computer science, astronomy. And so when I would go into a classroom, I would have the material. I didn't have to look at a book, or if somebody asked a question, it was in my head. And I talked about the time I took over another professor's class at Cornell. And this was mathematics, it was calculus. And they were doing limits, the very beginning part of calculus one. And so I picked this up somewhere in the middle of the semester. This professor had to go on a sick leave, had some issue where he had to leave. So I go into his classroom and I go, okay, here's the lesson for the day. I start going on the board and I'm not more than like 15 seconds into it. And this guy from, this is a classroom, 395 students in it. A giant, it was like a lecture hall with one of these giant desks up in the front and a blackboard that was 90 feet from the left to the right-hand side up in the front of the room. And this guy yells out from maybe 5-10 rows up in the left side, and he goes, hey, we don't know what a limit is. And I'm like, what? And then some other guy yells out, no, we. This guy comes in, he writes on the board, and he said, we don't know what's going on here. And then the other students chime in. They go, yeah, we don't really know anything here. So I got around. I came around to the front of the desk, and I sat up on this great big desk and with my feet dangling down because they couldn't reach the floor, of course. And so I said, okay, here we go. And so I started talking from the beginning of the book, and this is just out of memory, and because it's a topic that I knew like the back of my hand. I taught calculus many times at the university level previously and in a foreign language. But anyway, this was in English. And I talked them all the way up to the point where the book was at the time. But that's the level you have to be. You have to be fluent in this. And this is part in all of the different subjects have to be like and you have to have a feeling for things, not only the written definitions, but you have to physically see how a limit is formed and what does it mean. And as you move on to differential or integral calculus, how does that principle carry forward? And so anyway, you have to become so conversant in these topics that it's just part of you. And that means you can combine it with other things you know. And the biggest part of what I do when I discover, say, principles of physics or talking about the electrodynamics of the solar system, I can see all of this happening. I have a feeling for how big things are, how big charges are, how big electrical forces are, etc. And there's a lot of people who are scientists who really don't have that. And so like a lot of geologists that have no understanding of physical forces, so they talk about plate tectonics from seeing a picture in a book but not understanding that it doesn't work. There's no physical reality to what they're talking about. It doesn't translate into physical principles. It's just... It doesn't make any sense at all. Plate tectonics or plate subduction, things like that. It looks nice in a picture, but, you know, it's just simply not happening. Okay, so the reason I'm talking about this is because when you study my education package, now there's what, 200 lectures altogether, which are 1 hour lectures, but listening to them just one time would be enough to give you a feeling for what's going on. So you'd have to go back. If you were really going to study this material in my books, etc., you would have to go through these two or even three times, and then you would possibly start to understand it. And so this is the type of thing where you're going to get out of it what you put into it. If you only listen to these things, these lessons, and read the books one time, I guarantee you, you're going to miss about 90% of it because it's very complicated material. So going through it three times would be the minimum number of times for really giving it a level of understanding. And this would actually take a number of years. And that's why I'm putting together these programs. I have the education package. I have this year regarding the history of my discoveries. I have the books. I have the CDs, etc. All of this material is very well planned so that if you study this, you would have a very good rounded background in the true nature of the universe, the solar system, the stars, the planets. And not only that, but geology, planetary geology, the workings of the capture process, how are planets formed, how are the moons formed, why are they in circular orbits around the planets, how do they affect the electromagnetic fields of the planets, and then also more personal things. Then understanding the Colburn, how does that fit into the history of knowledge? It was just amazing that those books came out and were hidden outside of the knowledge of and the vista of man for all those for all that time. And the benefit is that they were not altered. They kept the same. And of course, they were originally in Latin, so translating Latin is very easy to do. But the extensive library of Joseph of Arimathea now being available to the public to understand our history, the history of catastrophes, and also the future. If you don't understand your past, then the future is really lost. But the true birthright of man is in the stars, the ability to go into outer space and enjoy it, not as a platform for warfare. And that's where, you know, when you get into modern politics, everything has got to be about war. Everything is about be there first, be the winner. And the reality is, this is from my book, The Diamond Principle. The reality is that a warlike nation that brings along its war machinery and puts a lot of money into space warfare is going to be the loser. And the reason being because a country that puts its resources towards going into space and going the farthest, the fastest, the military can't keep up with you. They might keep up around the, say, inner planets, but they're not going to keep up with you if you're going out into outer space. And the other reality is that if there are beings in outer space that we encounter, they're going to have weapons that we never imagined, and they're going to be much more powerful. So don't even try to go out and fight them because you're not going to win. It would be like, there's an old expression, don't take a knife to a gunfight. And it's the same concept, that if man is going to go out into outer space, if there's nobody there, then no problem. You only have to deal with the elements. But if there are other races already who have conquered outer space, they're not going to let us off of this planet with our petty wars. They're just not going to let it happen. So the ultimate goal of the education program is to get people up to the point, and also the main concept of the book, The Diamond Principle, is to get the human race up to the point where we actually can go into outer space and be, what would you say, proud of our past and our future ability to adapt to outer space, but also that we're not taking our warlike ways into outer space. But as we sit here in this year, 2022, I would say that the human race, you know, there are some people that have a lot of extra money on their hands, want to go into outer space, and a national program that would be a real space program that would benefit a lot of people, not sending three men to Mars in 25 years. That's ridiculous. What a ridiculous concept. But there's a bigger issue. We have not learned how to live on Earth yet and take care of the planet. So once again, why would you go into outer space only to make it into this economic system that's a giant failure on planet Earth? The human race has to accomplish certain goals of basic living necessities for the people on planet Earth, and we're so far from that, It's absolutely ridiculous, absurd. So until the people on planet Earth have a reasonable existence, and without all the petty wars, without all of the news media, all of the tremendous amount of misinformation, the ruling class, and then the keeping the paupers, so to speak, down in the dirt, as is happening today, it's just a situation on Earth that is not tenable. And so that I talk about that in my book, The Diamond Principle. And so the whole purpose of the education package is to bring people back to reality, to put their feet on the ground, to understand who they are, what their environment is, and that the universe did not begin in some kind of big bang explosion that everything just randomly blew out and all of a sudden a couple billion years later we have people walking around. Just absurdities, or the human evolution that humans somehow evolved from monkeys. Absolutely absurd concepts, and with no proof, but people repeating that and not really understanding who they are. And that's the biggest objective, is that students have to really get a grip on who they are, what their past is, what their future is, and also with the parents. I think it's essential that parents become part of the education program. I heard an expression the other day that parents have bequeathed their right of parenting to the school, and the schools have been very glad to take over that responsibility. So once again, parents think when they send their kids to school, hey, they're learning everything they need there. By the time they're graduating, by the time they graduate from school, they're going to have all the skills they need for life, and nothing could be farther from the truth. Okay, I want to give you a little prelude of what's going to come next week. I'm going to be talking about prime numbers. These are some of my biggest discoveries. And when the book Calculate Primes first came out, that was in 2007. Then they had the follow-up book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. And now I'm releasing a three-part set. The first part, the first volume is already released, called Principles of Prime Numbers. And this is pushing the knowledge and understanding of prime numbers really out there, way beyond what anybody had ever dreamed before, showing it to be a very well-organized mathematical system. So I'll be talking about that next week, and the importance of these discoveries, and about the future of releasing those books. Remember my webpage, jmccsci.com, and jmccwaterfilters.com. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.